Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
FM Talk.
Well, there's a lot of talk and chatter surrounding what's going on in the Donald Trump economy. And folks, you and I know together that there is a lot of cleanup on aisle 46 with what the Biden administration implemented. How much damage can you do in 4 years? Well, we're seeing that unfold as the president tries to clean up the mess. I think there's some hits and some misses in what the Trump administration is trying to do. And one of the first questions I want to ask our next guest, Steve Moore, the co-founder of the Committee for Prosperity, is about that 50-year mortgage. Steve Moore, welcome back to the show. Are you getting yourself a 50-year mortgage?
Hi, Annie. Good to be with you. Well, you know, I'm not particularly a big fan of that idea, but I have to let you know that because you mentioned the A word, which is affordability,
yes,
which is the buzzword these days, that, you know, I just did these numbers last night that about 87% of the inflation that people are angry about happened under guess who?
Yes. Joe Biden.
Yeah. So, you know, if you're angry when you go to a grocery store, or angry at what you're paying for beef or, corn or eggs or coffee, you can blame Biden for this. Now, the inflation rate averaged about 5.5% to 6% under Biden. We're at 2.8% now. Now, that's higher than we want, but it's still, you know, it's still a vast improvement over what we had before. So it's just important to put that in perspective. The other thing that I think is really important to understand is that one of the things that's really driving higher costs is Obamacare and the cost of health care, where people are, paying 12, 13, 14% increases in their premiums every year. My wife and I just got our statement. I don't know if you've had yours yet. Mm-hmm. Our premiums are going up 12.5% next year. So why? Why is healthcare cost exploding? I thought the Affordable Care Act was supposed to make it more affordable.
Yeah. It's almost like when you guarantee companies that they will have customers, that the companies stop competing for the customers that they don't have to earn. Is that right?
Yep. Well, that's why you have, you know, the Postal Service was such a bad performer. That's why, you know, think about the schools, too. Why do we tolerate schools that so underperform? Because they don't have to perform for the customers, because, you know, most people have to send their kids to the local school. So, you know, competition is a good thing. That's lacking. Most people have actually too much insurance, not too little. We'd save a lot of money as families if we paid more for it out of pocket rather than paid, you know, $35,000-$40,000 a year for premiums.
Right. Absolutely. Steve Moore speaking with us right now, the co-founder of the Committee for Prosperity. I encourage you to go to committeetounleashprosperity.com and sign up for the hotline there.
Right.
It's something that I read and enjoy the easy to read, like numbered points that people need to understand. I want to ask you to talk a little bit. Certainly the Treasury Secretary, Scott Bessent, has talked about this a bit, but he's saying that the quarter one and quarter two of 2026, the American people are going to start to feel the benefits of what the policy successes that this administration has had. Can you explain how that's going to work?
Well, sure. In fact, we were the ones who kind of alerted the White House to this, that, you know, if you go look at the numbers, most people did not adjust their withholding, you know, their tax withholding this year. They could have, but most people, I didn't. I don't know about you.
No,
so that means you didn't get your tax cut this year. You'll get it starting in January of 2026 when you adjust your withholding. And when you adjust your withholding, that means you're going to get a bigger paycheck each month. So this is a great way to deal with the affordability crisis because people are going to have more money in their paychecks and they'll have more money to be able to, purchase everything from food to gas. By the way, gas, I don't know what you're paying there in the St. Louis area, but, a lot of places are now have a two handle, 289, 279. Yeah. So that nobody talks about that. You know, it used to be the very, lead indicator of what's happening with inflation is what's happened to the gas price. But if you notice, the media doesn't talk about that very much anymore.
That's how you know it's doing. That's how you know it's going in the right direction. The less exactly. The media talks about it. 274 in the expensive gas stations downtown St. Louis. You get out into the suburbs and it goes down. You go across the river to Illinois. It certainly goes up. More blue leadership showing its hand there.
Well, this is the last point I wanted to make to you this afternoon, which is that, if the people are concerned about affordability and the cost of living, we just did an analysis at Unleash Prosperity. Guess which 10 states have the highest cost of living? Well, let's see. It's California. It's New York. It's New Jersey. It's Massachusetts. It's Rhode Island. It's Illinois. It's Connecticut. Which states have the lowest? Oh, it's states like, I think Missouri is one of the lower cost states. And then you've got, states like Oklahoma, et cetera. So the red states have much lower cost of living than the blue states because the blue states have such heavy regulations, green energy requirements, high taxes, high insurance premiums. All that stuff makes it much more expensive to live and raise a family in a blue state than a red state. So that's why, people are probably smart to move over the river into St. Louis, into Missouri, than if you're on the Illinois side of the border.
Yeah, it is definitely a financial upgrade. The governor of Missouri, Governor Kehoe, now having a conversation about eliminating the income tax here in the state. So that will be enticing for a lot of people as well.
That's one of my, I keep wondering which state will be the 10th state in the country that has no income tax. And boy, that would be great if we could do that in Missouri.
Yes, certainly. Steve Moore, we always love having you on. Thanks for being with us again today.
Okay, have a great week.
You as well. Take care. Bye-bye. He is a co-founder of the Committee for Prosperity. If you want to get this email, he sends out the hotline. I have it in front of me right now. Unleash Prosperity Hotline. It's just, I think, total of five today, six points on the Unleash Prosperity Hotline that shows facts, numbers behind the economic conversations that people are having. I think it's a very helpful thing. It's the Unleash Prosperity Hotline. I'm very much so leaning into and looking forward to that tax return being more significant than it usually is. But I'm like, I don't want to get my hopes up. I'm not definitely not spending that money before I get it. But that in the first and second quarter of 2026 in a midterm year will have a huge impact on how people feel about this administration.
I mean, you're going to have a bunch more cash in your pocket, hopefully. We were running kind of some numbers just to see. We don't know exactly. Like you said, I'm not going to spend it till I know for sure. But we look like we're going to get a better tax return so far come February or whenever we actually get it.
Yeah. I mean, if you can file online, a lot of times you can get the federal one maybe within a week. Illinois takes for freaking ever. And then we here have to file in Missouri as well. I usually get a small return from Missouri, a not huge return from Illinois, and the bigger one is the federal one, of course. And I know people are like, Annie, don't. A return is an interest-free loan to the government. Well, I do not want to get to tax time and have to owe, so that's what we're doing.
I don't know that much about the leadership of each state, but it is true that Missouri gets us back our tax returns quicker. And we don't even live there.
No. No. That's exactly right. Here's Besant.
How long will that take?
I think we are going to see a substantial acceleration in the economy in the second quarter. And I think we are also, we're already seeing on many prices, as I said, we're bending that curve down, and the increase in real incomes, I think Americans are going to feel it in the first quarter, second quarter. I think 2026, okay, thanks to President Trump's signature plans is going to be a great year for working Americans, for the markets. You know, I call it parallel prosperity. Main Street and Wall Street can both do great, but I think Main Street's going to have a great year in 2026.
So that's the Treasury Secretary, really the impetus behind a lot of the implementation of economic policies for the Trump administration. He spoke with great confidence. He doesn't waffle at all. If he's either going to be right or they're going to lose.
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, they've got to. And they are. They know it. They're addressing affordability. You know, I think at this moment in time, they're aware that that is the absolute top priority for Americans right now.
The word, you know, we did a poll last week on affordability. And it was after there was this kind of like rash reaction, if you can have a rash reaction to electing a socialist. Maybe it wasn't rash. Maybe it was appropriate. Maybe it wasn't enough. But, you know, the Democrats won in Democrat areas a couple Tuesdays ago. And everybody's like, oh, my gosh, this is terrible news for the midterms. Blah, blah, blah. Everyone's freaking out about all of this. And I said, if you went back and listened to the tape, you could hear me say it. But I said, there aren't going to be any surprises. The Democrats are going to win these elections. We should pay attention to two things, turnout and margin of victory. And I was right. The Democrats won in all of those places. I didn't make a prediction on turnout or margin of victory because I had no idea what's going to happen. But the turnout was strong and the margin of victory was comfortable. So that to me, that should make Republicans sit up in their chair and go, okay, we got to pay attention to what's going on here. Why do people who look at socialists and are too economically illiterate to understand the dangers of socialism and communism, why do they look at socialism and go, I kind of like to know more about that? It's because they don't feel as though the world they're living in is an affordable one. It's also not lost on me that you're going to find a higher propensity of people who live in hyper blue areas think that things aren't affordable, because it's not affordable to live in a place like Illinois where the supermajority of Democrats haven't ever found a tax that they don't think that they can levy against you. Or Governor J.B. Pritzker, who has Scrooge McDuck gold doubloons that he dives and swims through and bathes in every night. And then he goes and he spends $50 million, not this re-election campaign, but the one before. He put $50 million of his own dollars in his re-election campaign before he announced that he was running for re-election. I don't know what it's like to live like that. And a man like that is governing the state of Illinois, where it's one of the most unaffordable, if not the most unaffordable place to live in the country. When you factor in the cost of living and also the wages, you go to California, cost of living is outrageous. But they also make outrageous sums of money for the same jobs that you would perform in the state of Illinois. They make a lot more money. They spend a lot more money. But on the whole, Illinois is one of the most unaffordable places to live. So then you've got people who are living in these Democrat socialist strongholds going, it's unaffordable to live here. I think the government should provide me the things that I can't afford myself. You can't afford the things that you can't afford because of the government. I don't know how else to say it to make it make more sense. But when the government drives the costs of everything up because they overregulate energy and they overregulate all of the things that are trying to get from where it's manufactured to your hand or to your table or to your life, the government has to be involved in everything. It makes it cost more. It makes it difficult to be in a position as a business owner where you can provide services and provide goods to people for a price that they can afford, because you're being so burdened by the over-regulatory government that can never get its hands on the means of production, the actual product that is being made. The government is insatiable in their want for more power, for more leverage, for more control. And that ends up costing you a lot more. And so then, of course, it's a never-ending cycle. It's chicken or the egg. Which came first? Unaffordability or socialistic voting tendencies that are now a mainstay in the Democrat Party? The answer is, shockingly, less government. And the Democrats, they run like hell from that idea because that is the impetus for everything that they have to offer you. They want to replace fathers in the homes. They want to replace parents in the home. They want to replace the need to have a family unit that would provide for itself, like the American dream of being independent from the government and having a three-bed, two-bathroom house and 2.5 kids in suburbia somewhere where you can drive to your job, make enough money to afford that, maybe even make enough money to afford that on one salary because the other person in your home is doing that ever-important job of raising kids where you have at least a half a kid more than you had in your house to begin with. That expands the population. All of that is being washed away because everything that you've ever needed, you don't have to work for it anymore. You don't have to earn it anymore. It's going to be given to you. And then you sit idly by and tell the government thank you for what they've determined that you need while you're paying for it the whole time in taxes from a job that doesn't give you enough income to provide for yourself the things that you determine that you need. Maybe even, dare I say, the things that you want. This is a vicious loop. This is how the blue states get bluer, because the people who have enough common sense and economic literacy to go, this is really stupid. Look at Missouri and Governor Kehoe over there and saying, what if we got rid of the income tax? And if you're portable, you out. You're going to Missouri. You're going to Indiana. You're going to maybe Wisconsin. You're going to Kentucky, to Tennessee, to Florida, to Texas. You're going to these places that have it figured out and serve the people, as opposed to the states like Illinois where the people serve the government. That's bass ackwards, and people know it. People are understanding about it. But the people who have the common sense to vote it out are voting with their feet, not with their ballots. And then you have Chicago. Then you have Illinois. Then you have a socialist in New York City. Something's got to give. And I keep thinking it's got to get worse before it can get better. And I just don't see how Illinois can get much worse. We'll have to wait and see. We'll have to keep fighting for it and keep calling it out. But it's a dire time. It's a dire situation we're in right now. Let's take a break. This kind of wraps into the poll question, which I'll bring up with the guys when we come back. Are you concerned men are losing the traits that make them unique contributors to society? Annie Fry YouTube channel. Go vote. We'll be right back.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Waiting for the time to pass you by. Hope the winds of change will change your mind. I could give a thousand reasons why. And I know you. Make it on your own, but we don't.
The number of men, I didn't realize this till I read the book, the percentage who live at home still, live with their parents. What are those numbers?
It's about 30% of men under the age of 25. 1 in 3 are still at home. 1 in 5 are still at home by the age of 30. So, yeah.
Is that economic or emotional or both?
Yes. It's one, men aren't. I mean, effectively what you have is they're up against this indomitable enemy, and that is 20% or 40% of the S&P is now 10 companies whose primary mission is to get you as glued to a screen for as long as possible. Any minute they can keep you on a screen longer is billions of dollars. And a young man's brain, which prefrontal cortex is less mature, is more susceptible to that need for DOPA. So what we've literally done, Bill, is unwittingly built an economy which is dependent upon our ability to evolve a new species of asocial, asexual males. And what you have is big tech, who is not our friend, is trying to sequester people, especially young men, from the most important thing in their life, and that is relationships.
So there you have Scott Galloway on with Bill Maher, and he is the author of a book that I guess is kind of a popular book, maybe. But he's talking about how men have lost kind of their way in society. And I think that it's really a key important thing to understand that this is not just a man thing, but it is absolutely a man thing, in my opinion. And we're going to get your comments throughout the course of the show. Our YouTube poll for today is, are you concerned men are losing the traits that make them unique contributors to society? And I'll just ask broadly on this particular issue. We can dive deeper on some of the other points later in the show in the 2 o'clock hour. But how devastating is the fact that your screen that you have can service most needs that the brain thinks that it has? And if you limit men with a mental capacity and like impulse to pursue, men are usually pursuers. If you take away the need to pursue, does that have bigger consequences than, you know, one in five men that are 30 years old still living at home?
Yes. Huge consequences. In fact, one of the ways that I was going to interpret the poll is not just socially, because that seems like the natural way we talk about it socially, what's men's role in society, but physiologically, men are changing. Our testosterone levels as a nation are dropping. Our sperm count is dropping. These are tested metrics that have been used, and you can look it up for yourself. Since about 2000, they just drop. Even for younger men, when they account for age, and it's because of these kind of things. Men are less mobile. That we're just doing less. I mean, overall, I think society's just doing less. But it is a huge problem when men are not doing the things that society needs from men, even because of physiological reasons.
Joe comments on the Annie Fry YouTube channel on this poll, which we encourage you to go vote and tell us if you're concerned that men are losing the traits that make them unique contributors to society. Joe said, it's not a terrible thing to get a little feminized, but you have to remain true to your own nature, maybe a little empathy. Wonder how you guys feel about that. You can respond to that in the Annie Fry YouTube chat when you go vote. We'll continue to discuss this poll with your thoughts included on the YouTube chat. Our response options are yes, it's already lost. Yes, but it's correctable. Or no, it's not a real issue. Will Chamberlain's going to join us when we come back. He's the senior counsel at the Article 3 Project, at Will Chamberlain, article3project.org. And we're going to talk to him about Epstein files and the legalese behind what is being released, what isn't being released. How do these things need to be processed? Is there a real story that is being withheld from the American people? And is Donald Trump a part of it? We'll be right back with Will Chamberlain next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. the scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. A beautiful Monday here in St. Louis. We're grateful that you're spending a little bit of your time with us. We're going to be joined right now by one of my favorite guests that we have, Will Chamberlain, once again, senior counsel at the Article 3 Project on X at Will Chamberlain. Will, welcome back. Good to have you here.
Always good to be with you, Amy.
So I want to wide open the question to you about Epstein files. I had on Ryan Schmelz, he's a Capitol Hill correspondent with Fox News earlier. And I'm like, what even are the Epstein files? Everybody wants them, but I'm not even 100% sure I know what they would be should they be released. And once again, we have a kind of a media illusion that is driven by politicians who are trying to tell you a whole bunch about what is there. Then we get whatever they are. And what they said was there was not there, but nobody cares about reporting that. With the Epstein file conversation taking place right now, what are you wanting to see and what are you looking for in the release of these should we actually get them?
I mean, I have a hard time caring about this. And it may sound weird because it's like, obviously, Epstein was a complete cretin. But I don't think there's anything in the files. That's my guess. That's my prediction. There's not going to be anything serious in the files that will like reveal criminality on the part of third parties. And the reason I say that is twofold. You know, where everybody is extremely invested in the release of files that I guess would have started being generated in the late 2000s and would have stopped being generated in 2019 when that Jeffrey Epstein committed suicide. In that time, Epstein's victims have sued Epstein and won major judgments from Epstein's estate. They've been represented by some of the best law firms in the country, the best plaintiff's law firms. David Boies, the plaintiff's lawyer who, you know, beat Microsoft in the antitrust trial, you know, late 90s, early 2000s. So well-funded, competent lawyers. And there's been nothing in terms of third parties. So I don't think it exists. And I think if it did, moreover, all these victims are still here. You know, why haven't any of them could speak up and say, yeah, that guy is the guy who assaulted me. And yet none of them do. And so I start with the assumption that if there's not even a victim willing to go on the record and say this person assaulted me, that there's not going to be some, you know, smoking gun file from all these investigations that reveals something to that effect, because they could just say so now with enormous public support and political support behind them to try and go after somebody who worked with Epstein to abuse them.
Yeah. You talk about that enormous public support. I would almost challenge that just on the fact, the hypocrisy of the left in the reason why the Epstein files are of import to them is because they think that they can hang something on Donald Trump. And the reason why I feel like the hypocrisy is just absolutely nauseating from the left is because we have Kristi Noem and her department, Homeland Security, and Kash Patel finding trafficked children all across the United States right now who have been a part of intentional human trafficking that the government under Joe Biden's administration has laid open the red carpet for people to come in and do the very things that Jeffrey Epstein has been found guilty of, accused of, whatever it might be. And the only issue that matters to these people on the left is whether or not it connects Donald Trump. Like, that is beyond repulsive to me. And I wonder how many people would be collectively behind, you know, the revelations that might come from whatever the Epstein files might reveal. For, I think, probably 30% of this country, if it doesn't touch Trump, they don't care.
Yeah, I don't think they'd be interested in it. I mean, I'd be shocked if there's anything implicating Trump at all. The email release, and this is very different from the Epstein files, right? The recent email release the Democrats put out, that's all a product of James Comer's investigation into the Epstein matter. They subpoenaed the estate for the contents of his email account. all that revealed was that Epstein hated Trump, that he was like any other deranged resist liberal who wanted, you know, the funny thing is they did some stat where they said Trump's name appears in his emails more than anybody else. It's like, yeah, as in criticism, because the guy, like every other MSNBC liberal, was obsessed with Trump in the same way that the word Trump appears in MSNBC more than it does anywhere else.
Yeah.
So it's clear that Epstein hated Trump. Moreover, I think the big thing people need to realize is that, you know, Trump ran for president twice. He's been running for president or been involved in politics since 2015. And the Biden administration was in charge of the federal government for 4 years and had every incentive to release derogatory information about President Trump and didn't on this subject. So the idea, and that, trust me, they would have found it. If they had it, they would have released it. They were willing to go with completely false narratives. Imagine if they actually had something true,
yeah,
what it would have done. So there's not going to be anything derogatory about President Trump. You can bank on that.
Yeah. You know, they would have found it if it were there. They would have manufactured it if they thought they could get away with it. We've seen them certainly in the deep state doing that very kind of thing. I want to ask you, because I know that you've weighed in on this a little bit. I find it super annoying to tune into X. I'm going through my weekend riding the Polar Express at St. Louis Union Station with my family, having a great time, dipping back into X to see what's going. X to C, just to be clear for the people at home listening. What's going on in the world? And X is melting down intra-party. We've got Marjorie Taylor Greene, you know, going, in my opinion, off the reservation, and she's now fighting with Donald Trump. We've got a lot of infighting. A lot of it centered around Israel, that issue, of course. And meanwhile, the Democrats should still be the target of the Republican Party at all. It's the Big Ten Party, at least it is right now. Maybe it won't be after all these fights get resolved. What do you make of the dissension that takes place among the different factions of the Republican Party? And is it a real tangible thing that's going to have an effect maybe on the midterms? Or is it just something that exists in timelines and social media feeds?
If it continues, it'll have an effect. I think there are two big dynamics at play. First, things are actually going pretty well for the country, honestly. They're going too well for the podcasters. Podcasters do better when things are going poorly and there's more to complain about. There's the content maw must be fed. So the podcasters are kind of creating intra-party drama in order to juice their ratings. Maybe not intentionally, but that's sort of their incentives pull them in that direction. Second thing is the left isn't on X as much anymore. They're over at Blue Sky in their own little bubble, but it means that we aren't fighting with them so much as we're fighting, yeah, with ourselves, because there's fewer of them on the platform. And then finally, you just have some people who are really angry about and have personal vindictiveness. Like Massey has a personal beef with Trump. That much is obvious. So does MTG. I mean, MTG, the thing to understand about her, she's been counter signaling the president aggressively at every turn. A few months ago, when President Trump was trying to be really hard, aggressive on immigration enforcement, she went on a podcast and talked about how we need to be careful with H-1Bs, blah, 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 blah. Now that President Trump put out a statement about, oh, you know, we do need to keep some H-1Bs, she puts out a bill saying, let's get rid of them all. So she's just trying to take the opportunity to counter signal. Why? Because she wanted to be a senator or a governor in the state of Georgia. And President Trump said no, that he wouldn't endorse her for it because she'd lose. So I think, you know, you have, and then Massey has his own set of ridiculous drama. I think it'd be nice if everybody would just get on board with the most effective Republican administration of my lifetime.
Yeah.
And stop letting personal beefs get in the way. I mean, the thing that Massey did that really annoyed me was yesterday he said that anybody who doesn't vote with him on his bill is covering up for pedophiles. You don't know that. There's a lot of reasons why you have to think hard about the federal government releasing investigative files and outside of the process of a prosecution and court filings. We don't want a DOJ that's just randomly investigating people and releasing derogatory information about them, because think about the power that that gives any administration. So there are legitimate reasons and concerns and things to worry about, you know, in terms of the precedent you're setting, in terms of what, you know, what might happen to third parties who, you know, there's some derogatory hearsay, but there's no other evidence. It would never get indicted, but they get, you know, they suddenly their life is ruined by something that wouldn't, you know, just doesn't even meet the sniff test, but it's used as something that people can seize on. There's just a lot of reasons why you might not release those files. That said, if President Trump thinks we should, I'm going to defer to him. That was always my attitude. I would defer to people I trust, like Pam Bondi and Cash Patel and Dan Mangino and President Trump. So if they think releasing the files is in the best interest of the country, very well. But I couldn't. I was very, very frustrated by the people who suggested that anybody who might disagree with them is covering for pedophiles. That was ridiculous.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. And I just am, you know, I'm in the business of media. And yes, I hope to be informative, maybe even persuasive in certain instances on my radio show. But I do know that I have an element of entertainment that is involved here. And I say that regularly to my listeners, because everywhere else that you're listening to, they have to inject some entertainment level, something that brings you back. It invokes emotion. And for a lot of that, it might be anger. It might be fear. It might be, you know, it's not just the left that does that. I see it on the right as well. I hear people, you know, we're what, 10 months into this administration right now? And people are like, mm-hmm. Where are the arrests? You're a senior counsel at the Article 3 Project. How quickly can you go out and arrest super, you know, they want orange jumpsuits and, you know, handcuffs and all of that, the perp walk. I don't want that unless it's a airtight case. And I don't know that you can do that in 10 months. You probably know a little bit better than I.
Yeah, I mean, they're doing it in some cases. I mean, James Comey is under arrest and under indictment. Letitia James is under arrest and under indictment. You can expect probably Adam Schiff and Eric Swalwell are soon going to be under arrest and under indictment for mortgage fraud. That's not bad. People need to understand how hard it is to get appointees through, how the Democrats' obstruction prevented the Republicans from getting their people in place. And even when they get their people in place, they're dealing with the entrenched bureaucracy of the Department of Justice, which is full of people who are not aligned with the president. So it's not instant. People need to give it a second, wait a second. But I think you will see more coming, especially from Florida, where Jason Redding Quinones is now the U.S. attorney in the Southern District of Florida. He's a close friend of Mike Davis, and the grand jury has been impaneled. I expect a lot to come out of that.
Yeah, certainly. We're speaking with Will Chamberlain, senior counsel at the Article 3 Project. Please follow him on X at Will Chamberlain, article3project.org. I think about the difference between governing and campaigning. It is a very different entity. And I keep asking myself, okay, we're 10 months into the America First agenda being the primary policy, you know, foundation. Where am I looking at President Trump, what he promised to the people who he asked to vote for him? Where has he completely gone back on those promises? Has he delivered on all of them? He's delivered on a lot of them in 10 months. Are you seeing any contradictions in what the president, then candidate Donald Trump, said he wanted to do with the America First mentality, the Make America Great Again mentality? Are you seeing conflicts in what he said he wanted to do and what he's delivering?
No, he's delivering. You go back and read the 20-point platform that he put out at the RNC. He's going after every single thing on that list. Top of the list was securing the border and funding the largest mass deportation operation in American history. It's taken a while to get the deportation machine going for similar reasons. You hire, you know, get a bunch of money through the One Big Beautiful Bill. Hire a bunch of people, get everybody in line. It takes, you know, building an organization doesn't happen instantly, and you're dealing with an entrenched bureaucracy already. But he's working on it. He's doing a lot. Peace deals everywhere, stopping woke. He made Colombia and Penn bend the knees, brought peace to the Middle East, prevented Iran from getting a nuclear weapon. He's done so much in 11 months. It's really, really remarkable. And the people who are complaining, saying, oh, he's not meeting his agenda, they're usually doing the trick where they pretend that their agenda was the Trump agenda. So that's Thomas Massie. Thomas Massie is pretending that the Epstein files and balancing the budget was the MAGA agenda. That's not true. It's not. Neither of those things is in the platform. Neither of them. I mean, he's talked about wanting a balanced budget. So has every Republican politician ever. But if you actually look at what is he invested in, what does he actually list as, this is our platform, this is what we will do. He's doing those things.
Yeah.
And so, you know, if Thomas Massie wants to implement his platform, then he should run for president. But Donald Trump ran for president and won. He has the mandate of the electorate. And the libertarian, I'm really quite tired of the libertarians pretending that their agenda is the MAGA agenda. They are not the same. There are some places of overlap, but they are not the same thing. And certainly the emphasis is very different, because the emphasis is on immigration restriction and reindustrialization. It's not necessarily on balancing the budget.
We're speaking with Will Chamberlain here. I heard, I think it was a Kayleigh McEnany interviewed James Carville. A lot of people go back to James Carville for like Democrat, like the old sage wisdom of James Carville. I don't know how successful he's been over the career that he's had, but certainly at one time he was the guy. He's saying if the Democrats get back in charge, nuke the filibuster, add the states, D.C. and Puerto Rico and whatever, pack the court. I mean, you've got a leader in what I consider to be probably a little bit more of a moderate voice. At least policy-wise, he approaches it in a less communist way, like the far left progressive wing of the Democrat Party. But he's saying ridiculous things that the Democrats should do should they get the levers of power once again. What do you advise the Republicans to do when you hear things like pack the court, add the states, that type of stuff?
I mean, I think it, you know, if we get the votes to do it, the thing you should do is you should basically, you know, have a two prong thing where you, on the one hand, have legislation packing the court in advance. And then on the other hand, you offer a constitutional amendment setting the number of justices at 9. You say, like, we expect you to sign. We agree to this, to agree to the status quo, to agree that there shouldn't be games being played with the Supreme Court. And if you will not agree to that, then we're going to pack the court. Like, then we're going to make it so that we get everything we want. Might as well, you know, like maybe we'll have a court that invalidates every future election. Like, well, you know, what do we care? I mean, at that point, like there has to be some investment from the Democrats in maintaining the current structure of our government. They get really, one of the things I find really obnoxious about Democrats is they sort of don't really care that much about our constitutional settlement. They're like, oh, it's not democratic enough. We need to change it. And I'm like, what that actually means is we don't have enough power in the system. We want to change it so we have more power. Okay, if we're changing the system, why can't we change it so we have more power? Actually, why don't we change it so we can exclude you from power? Because that's what you're trying to do to us.
Do you support
making
the filibuster?
Maybe the settlement's worth something in terms of keeping the peace.
Should the Republicans do what Trump says and get rid of the filibuster in the Senate?
I mean, I think it's immaterial because they just don't have the votes. I think they're missing 4 or 5 votes. They're not going to get McConnell. They're not going to get Susan Collins. They're not going to get Lisa Murkowski. They're not going to get Tom Tillis. So they just can't, you know, all 4 of those people either, you know, Murkowski and Collins are sort of invulnerable to whatever Trump does. Like, they just have their own unique situations in Maine and Alaska. And then Tillis and McConnell just don't like Trump. Aren't going to just do what he wants.
Do you think the Democrats have the votes to do it if they get the majority?
Yes. Yes, they do.
Crap.
I think so.
That's not good. All right. No. Well, I guess it's a moot point for the Republicans at this juncture. But
they'd probably lose Fetterman. That's it. They'd probably lose Fetterman. That's the only one.
Will, you're a charm to have on here every time. We appreciate you. Thank you for the time once again.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Again, we'll do it soon. Thanks. Will Chamberlain, the senior counsel at the Article 3 Project, at Will Chamberlain on X. He seems to be level-headed on his X feed. So if you've got a lot of people freaking out, just follow him on X so that you can balance things out. And then, of course, decide for yourself. We're big fans of thinking for ourselves here on The Andy Fry Show. Quick break. When we come back, a little more discussion on that YouTube poll. Have you voted yet? Are you concerned men are losing the traits that make them unique contributors to society? We'll be right back.
The second worst thing to happen to young people is remote work. 1 in 3 relationships begin at work. This is where you find friends, mentors, and mates, and especially young men need the guardrails of a workplace. But in my view, the worst thing that's happened to young people is the anti-alcohol movement. I've had Huberman on, who I'm a big fan of, and Antti on, and my point is that the risks to your 25-year-old liver are dwarfed by the risk of social isolation. In sum, think of all the amazing relationships you've had in your life, and be honest. Did alcohol play a role? In sum, get out, drink more, and make a series of bad decisions that might pay off.
Yeah.
Okay, Bill Maher is like, my guy. Of course, listening to Scott Galloway there talk about men and the effect that our society today, the things that have been adopted in society, how it is affecting men across the board. Our poll for today is, are you concerned men are losing the traits that make them unique contributors to society? Yes, it's already lost. Yes, but it's correctable, or no, it's not a real issue. Ender says on the YouTube chat, I voted the second option, but true answer is no. I don't think it's an issue. They're not losing those traits, but they're being repressed by themselves due to pressure, society, and the media. Vicky said, yes, it's already lost. On most urban men, rural men don't lose those traits. So they're saying Vicky's saying it's regional. She might be right. It might be the culture that you surround yourself in, the society you surround yourself in. But, I mean, do you look around? I don't know. You talk to me about advertisements that you get, because you can always tell the pulse of society based on what they think, what marketing companies think they need to do to sell you something, to get you to want something.
Most of my stuff in my algorithm, it almost doesn't seem like it's product-based so much as it is just wants my attention. And so they put a lot of videos about, well, middle-aged men experience this or whatever. And I'm like, wait a minute now. I'm not quite there, but they're trying to get me. And
then you are absolutely a middle-aged man.
No, I'm not.
I'm a middle-aged woman, and you're older than me.
I don't believe that, though. That's what matters. And then the other videos that I get a lot of that really are just, they're trying to pull you in so you spend time watching them, is women, not like anything pornographic, but they're definitely showing stuff. They're talking about subjects.
It's gateway porn.
It's kind of that. Yeah, it's real close.
They're talking about something, but the focus of the video is not on the something. It's on the somethings.
Yeah. Or if it is on the topic, it's on that topic.
Are you still being are you still being served content? Are you still being served ads? I mean, sex sells. And the problem, you know, okay, I would think that if the marketing firms and the boardrooms still think that, to talk about a conversation from last week, a nice spice rack might still sell the goods on whatever the thing is, I would think, okay, those carnal impulses that men have are still in play. But the problem is that the execution of that is often a digital sex life. Mm-hmm. Just you can be fully engrossed and held hostage by a life addicted to pornography. That is so incredibly devastating to young men, to middle-aged men, to old men. It's devastating on a huge, huge swath of issues. And I think that it's way, way, way more common than anybody wants to talk about.
It's way more common among men in church than men in church are willing to talk about. So you got to go to a church that's willing to talk about it.
Which is the only place that you're probably actually going to hear people say, yeah, this is a problem.
Yeah, because nowhere else other than maybe the Annie Fry Show is going to talk about this issue.
And I bring it up a lot because yeah. I'm raising a son. I know what the world is trying to do to get out to get them. And I feel like if the less we talk about it, the more runway it has.
Yeah, you have to talk about it. And if you don't, you're just sort of giving it breeding ground to grow. Because honestly, a lot of times what it takes, guys, is you hearing somebody else go, stop.
I have this problem and I stopped it and it changed my life.
Yeah, consider that it's something you want to get away from.
314-241-9797. If you want to text us about these issues, I would like to continue this conversation after the break. We're going to talk about men being men and is it waning at this point in society? Go vote in the YouTube chat. Leave us a comment. Text us at 314-241-9797.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.